Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? God, as we finished this last year and we heard the message of John and he talked about the light of the world, and then as we start the beginning of this new year, we again read about the light. It was that light that led the wise men to the place of Jesus Christ. And may it be that same light that will continue to guide us in our lives. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. For these next 3 weeks, we'll start a sermon series that we titled Shaped by God's Heart. And the series will focus on missions, as January is often a month that we talk a great deal intentionally about missions. They just sang the words, "Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere." And what I think that message of that carol or that hymn is, it really is the same message as Matthew 28, which Sarah read for us earlier. And it's those words of "go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember that I am with you to the end of the ages." That's what we call those, that scripture is what we call the Great Commission. Not intended to be a great suggestion, and certainly not intended to be a great omission in the lives of Christians. And then I think that if we look even earlier back into the book of Matthew, if we look at chapter 25, I believe that those words tell us what it is that God exactly, precisely wants us to do here on this earth. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Truly, you did it to one of the least, as you did it to me." So I believe what this is saying to us is that our call or our commission is to lives of what sometimes we talk about missions, or we talk about outreach, or we talk about being servants. And I do believe those functions and those actions are important, but what I want us to be challenged even more about is I believe that the call is more than just the things that we do. I believe that that call is to be shaped by God's heart. And what God intends is that we become missional people. We become missional in everything we do. Because I know that whenever we as a church go into more of a maintenance mode rather than a mission mode, I know that that's a description of churches that are dying. And certainly within the Methodist Church, we have plenty of small churches that have fallen into that category. And so how do we get around that? Well, it's a commitment early on to missions. But even more than that, it's about having a missional heart, in seeing the opportunity for missions, looking for the opportunity of missions in every way that we live our lives individually and as a church. So here's something that we need to know. Mission is not an extra. It's not an optional. I know here when we talk about the missions of the church, we'll talk about we have a children's mission and a youth mission and music ministry and ministry mission, missions ministry. What I want to say about missions ministry is it really is not intended to be one ministry or a program by itself. Missions is a ministry that is to leak into and through every one of our other ministries. For example, this last year, I know with the children, in fact, it was recently, a local service mission that they did there for the last several years. They're concerned about this time of year. You know, we got lots of germs around. So they take a time together and they wash all the pews, wash them down with disinfectant. This last vacation Bible school, they talked a great deal about the children who are in Africa, in Sierra Leone, where our team currently is serving. So they made all kinds of little cards that are being taken to those children in Sierra Leone now. looking for those opportunities and knowing that they're a must in children's ministry, that's being missional. That says it's in our heart to look for those places, for those opportunities. You know, our youth ministry is the same. I don't know how many of you purchased a Christmas tree, but the profits from the sale of those Christmas tree all go in support of youth missions. Even our choir, even our music, a ministry, an outreach that they practiced in December, they went to a couple senior facilities and they caroled. And even though their service, their singing is a service each and every Sunday, they also participate in Roberts Park, which again is a local ministry where we feed inner city persons in Indianapolis. Paul Borthwick, who is an author who talks about leadership development, but his real passion is how to move the next generation to have a passion for world missions. He said this: we face a choice to be worldly Christians or world Christians. Worldly or world? In other words, he says, you know, we've got a choice that we need to make as a congregation. So today, as I was reflecting on many weeks ago on Matthew 28 and Matthew 25, I found myself reading John 17, and that's the scripture that I want us to dig in today, because I believe that it says, it supports the same message, but John says it in John's way, so I'd like us to hear and study that a bit today. So I will begin with reading from chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him." Jesus knew what his purpose was. He came to this earth and he knew what his purpose was, and it was to give to us eternal life. "And this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I, Jesus, glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave to me." He has accomplished what he was sent here to do. "So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed." And what that is reminding us is, remember, Jesus experienced a cultural shift, right? Jesus left heaven and came to earth, and then he did what God desired for him to do. "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you." And I believe that word "now" is pretty key word right there. "Now they know that everything you have given me is from you." And I say it's now. It's like this great handoff, right? It's like, I did it. I did what you called me to do. And now it's all of our responsibility. So what are we going to do with this handoff? When I was thinking about handoffs, you know, honestly, at first I thought about talking about handoffs with the Colts, but I didn't know if I should talk about that today. So I went back to one of my other examples, a sport connection, and that's track. You know, then these were situations from the past Olympics. There's a good handoff, right? The handoff goes very smoothly. But there are handoffs that don't go so smoothly. Yeah, it's they crashed into each other, and it was pretty much of a disaster. Handoff is what Jesus said he was giving to us. He's handing it off to us to do, to continue to do what he had done in his time here on earth. Therefore, what we like to say is mission is incarnational. Mission is incarnational. Participating in the mission of God means leaving our place of security to travel to the place where others are. And isn't that exactly what Jesus did when he took on flesh and he was a baby born and he lived here on this earth? He left what he had been about and came here. So the incarnation certainly meant a culture change for Jesus. And culture change happens to us when we live out what has been handed off to us. And just as I'm sure Jesus felt uncomfortable with some of the things that he had to do, we too, when we go into these other contexts, these other cultures feel uncomfortable. I guess this is a time for me to pause and say, how are you feeling sitting in a different place? I mean, doesn't it look or feel a little awkward or just a little different even? And so how true is it if we take, you know, these bigger steps and bigger changes in culture, and how do we feel? Yesterday on during the Colts game, there was a Hyundai commercial, and it was talking about the car and how that car could transport you to different places that you could get out of your comfort zone. And they were celebrating that about the car. And it said, in that commercial, it said the importance of getting out of your comfort zone is that then you experience the kind of things that you will tell your grandchildren about. So doesn't that say that when we do this different kind of living, that we really have a story to tell? That we really are living as God would intend for us to? There was a television show, a series, back in the 60s, and now it's all over the place, you know, for reruns. And the story was about a family who left their culture and moved into a new culture. And when we watched that series, we would laugh with them at the various perspectives. So I thought that I'd share with you one of those episodes, and I'd like to say it's a perfect example of a clash of cultures. Will you watch the Beverly Hillbillies with me?
That sure is a mighty fine eating table.
Snitching a pop.
Granny, you gotta admit, folks built this table sure knows what they were doing. It is built solid.
It is that. You could set a half dozen turkey gobblers on there and never sag it a bit.
This here is a dandy idea, especially if you got young ones at the table. The plates won't slip off on the floor.
Yeah, I've sure scrubbed up a mess of pone and sorghum.
Bet nobody ever scrubbed up none from this floor.
There's been plenty spilled on the table, though.
Sorghum?
Something sticky. I can't get that green tablecloth off. They'll save me.
Stuck on it?
Can't imagine anybody to lay a clean tablecloth on a sticky table.
Yeah, Granny, I reckon all women ain't as thick a span as you are when it comes to keeping house.
Here you are, Granny.
Set it in the middle of the table so we'll see if these pot passers reach.
Yeah, I reckon that'll do the trick, all right.
Ted, maybe you better whittle some sharp points on a few of them, and then we can spear the meat and pass it.
Good idea, Granny. I'll do that.
How do you reckon the folks that lived here before us passed things?
Well, they probably had a big family and passed from hand to hand. That reminds me, we're having five for our Thanksgiving meal.
Let us say grace. We sure have got a lot to be thankful for, Lord. We got good health, and good neighbors, good food. Jethro's going to school. Ellie's got a feller. I guess everything is just about fine, and we sure do thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Jethro, hand out the pot passers and the meat stabbers, and let's get at it.
Debbie's on drumstick.
I think over the years we laughed at them, and I don't know that we've necessarily labeled it as a cultural clash, but indeed that certainly was why it was so funny. You know, the Beverly Hillbillies or Granny would see a possum lumbering on a highway, and she'd think, well, that looks like dinner on the hoof. Whereas if somebody from Beverly Hills saw that same critter on the road, they think, oh my gosh, that's a potential accident. I'm going to call animal control. And it truly is a clash of cultures. Neither one was wrong, and neither one was right. It's just that they do things differently. And I think that's what is important for us to remember, whether we're talking about missions that are across an ocean or across a continent or within our own city, the differences. What we need to remember is it's not that something is necessarily wrong. Neither one of us. It's just we are different. But certainly when we go into that different cultural setting, often we feel uncomfortable. I think it's also important when we talk about going into a different culture that we have a true understanding of that culture. Not an understanding of what we think they need, but an understanding of that culture and what they see that they need. And so we certainly can think of that worldwide, but I'm thinking back even to the history of this congregation who has experienced that. Years ago, there was a ministry that was a part of United Methodist Women, and it was Angel's Attic. And at that time, they gave away, they had a separate building over here, and they it was a secondhand clothing. And it was a whole shop of all kinds of secondhand clothing, and around was a powerful ministry for many years. But as the culture of the city changed, when suddenly there were many other places that were beginning to do the same, and also as our building was deteriorating, the decision was made that this was a ministry that perhaps had best served its time. And so that ministry went away. Think about the food pantry, where it began in its very inception in a closet, a simple closet over by the elevator. And that was enough. And we sustained the food. We would bring the food in ourselves. And now look at today's culture. And now look at today what the food pantry is. As it has taken over that entire house. And it's not enough that we as a congregation can donate food, because we alone could not sustain the need of the culture ourselves. We have had to find ways to be creative and to partner with others to sustain that ministry. I think also as we participate in that ministry and all of ours, I think we also need to be focused continually on the fact that these ministries are not simply about social justice. The ministry, the mission of the church is about meeting the needs of persons. But remember that our focus is on introducing people to Jesus Christ. And I think that we can never forget that that needs to permeate absolutely everything we do, so that we are different than a social justice or social action agency. When we find ourselves participating in these and making these cultural changes, what we find ourselves is that we find ourselves to be changed. And author John Steinbeck said, "We do not take a trip. A trip takes us." And I think that the beauty of that internal transformation of each and every one of us becomes an opportunity for the transformation of the world. That's why I say that, yes, the world can change, can be changed, if each one of us is individually committed to being a part of that effort, that, yes, we can make a difference. So with that said, here's the next step of faith that I would challenge us to be about. And two words, every day and everyone. Every single one of us needs to understand ourselves as missionaries. And God calls for every one of us to have our hearts changed, so that we are so missional that everything we do in every one of our days, that we're looking for opportunities to serve others. It doesn't matter if we're at the grocery store or if we're at work. It doesn't matter where we are. We are to understand ourselves. The lens that we look at the world through is missional. It's not just on Sunday. It's not just when we travel or go out on a trip. It's every day. And that's why this year we'll be talking about the number 3. Because we want to challenge all of us to grow in our faith. And so we're asking everyone to ask themselves the question every week. 3. Looking back at our missions, our vision statement. 1 hour of connecting, 1 hour of growing, 1 hour of serving each and every week of our lives. And it's important for us to know that, yes, we need to grow in our faith, but we're not intended to grow just so that we know more. The knowledge that we have is intended to send us or to grow us in the way that we do. Missions. Every day, everything. We go to the grocery store, pay attention looking at the clerk that checks you out. How can you reach out to that person? Because you're so missional, you just can't help but think about that. You know, the other person that you run into at work that obviously is having a hard time. How is our heart? How are we missional? That's how we need to challenge ourselves personally and as a church. And so I want to finish up, read the rest of that scripture from John 17, because we read through 1 through 7, and it's in our bulletin that we're going to read 7 through 19 also. And I want to, again, make that connection of how these words of John connect us also to the Great Commission, understanding that. Now that they know everything you have been given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, that's Jesus speaking, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, always remembering what our focus and our purpose is. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Again, reminder of our connection and our calling. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. There's the handoff. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, and I believe that was Judas, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word. It's handed off. And the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world. Just as I do not belong to the world, I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. We are not worldly Christians, we are world Christians. Sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. That's the Great Commission. A Great Commission that we're sent out to the world. But Jesus also emphasized in this message that we weren't sent out alone. We're not sent out alone. And we're also not set into the world without a precedent. And the precedent is that life of Jesus Christ, as he lived life as a model for each and every one of us.